Good morning.
I want to welcome everybody to the service today. As we always, I've started calling our chapel service. As you know, we have the second service going on over at the Contemporary Service. I appreciate everyone being here today on this pleasantly cool and little rainy day. That's not all bad. I want to thank everybody that was involved in Hog on the Hill this week. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of activity. I think the total amount raised was slightly more than last year, but a very good time. Very good time was had by all. Coming up is All Saints Sunday, the Sunday after the Halloween is always our All Saints Sunday. One of the things we're doing this year is remembering those saints that have come before us, not just the people that have passed away this year, but if you've got pictures of family members, parents, or whoever that was a saint to you and very important in your faith, bring those pictures, bring their favorite scripture that you'd like to have as part of that collage of people and scriptures. That's going to be part of our worship on All Saints Sunday. This Wednesday we have Faith Family Dinners. Be sure and sign up in the bulletin for it. And if you don't sign up, come anyway, but it always helps to get a good idea about the number. That's been a wonderful, successful, very, very special time for us to share in fellowship and in faith and dinner. I will say this, this week it's Corky's Barbecue. We all know how good Corky's Barbecue is. And then Georgia is going to be speaking on healthy living. I find a lot of irony in that personally. You'll know how to eat better. As always, we have a lot of mission work that we do here in Asbury. I think that are critical as part of our being in obeying God, is being part of being in ministry. Today in particular at 1:30 is our feeding at it's our turn at the Quapaw quarters for Stone Soup, when we feed and minister to the homeless. That is the critical and special and really enduring point. Greg Stansel leads that, but we meet at Quapaw Quarters Methodist downtown at 1:30 today for anyone that's interested in helping on that. Are there any other announcements to come for them? Oh, prison ministries tonight as well at the community prison. The Asbury Prison Band, as always, will be going, including Todd, who will be also singing for us today as well. All right. We thank you all, and let us now go to God in worship. Thank you. Will you please stand and join me in our call to worship? Come, my light, and illumine my darkness. Come, my life, and revive me from death. Come, my physician, and heal my wounds. Come, flame of divine love, and burn up the thorns of my sins, kindling my heart with the flame of thy love. Come, my King, sit upon the throne of my heart and reign there, for thou alone art my King and my Lord. Our hymn of praise is 139, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Please remain standing as we confirm our, as we state our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found in your hymnal, in your hymnal 881, and in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning. How are we?
Thank you.
Are we doing okay today? Yes. Did y'all like the rain last night? You didn't hear it? Good, that means you're sleeping. You didn't know it rained last night? Yeah, I heard a little bit. Well, this morning I brought something to show you.
Yeah, I can see.
Can you tell me what this is? Seeds? What kind of seeds? No clue. You're honest. Do you know? You think, Abigail, Will, do you think you know what kind of seeds these might be? Somebody said bird seed. Sunflower seeds. What do you think? You ready? They're mustard seeds. What? Look how tiny they are. Do y'all like mustard? Yes. No. We all had a little combination about that. See how tiny they are? So the reason why I brought it was because I wanted to talk about our faith. But I have a story first about a man who had a tree outside of his front door, kind of like in his front yard. And he decided that he wanted that to be gone. And he said, I want it to be gone, and it's going to be gone in the morning. And so he went to bed thinking he had all the faith in the world that that tree was going to be gone in the morning. So he got up the next morning. He opened up his front door. Do you think the tree was gone? No, it wasn't. Because, you know, two things happened out of that. One is that he really probably didn't have a whole lot of faith that it was going to be gone. And then secondly, he had a lot of big bragging faith. For us, our faith, as it says in the Bible, is as small as a mustard seed. We don't have to have, we have to have a lot of faith in God, but ours doesn't have to be big for God to do great things. And so I want you to think about that as you go through this week, that our faith just has to be like a small mustard seed for God to do great things. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the wonderful rain you have sent us. Just remind us that our faith needs to be the size of a mustard seed for you to do good things. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Will you please join me in a time of prayer? God, a funny thing was said today in Sunday school. My teacher said he had never heard your voice. I've been thinking about it ever since, God, and I know he has. He's heard your voice because someone told him what you had said. You've nudged me at various times to tell different people different things. You put it in my heart. Sometimes I said it, sometimes I didn't. Forgive me, God, when I don't respond to that strange warming in my heart that you have given me, to that call that you've placed in my mind, and I don't respond because at that point I'm failing to be your voice. Oh God, you call each of us. You call each of us in a special way to be your voice here on earth. Oh, I plead we listen and we hear. I plead that we know where we are, your voice, God, and your calling of each of us. We confess, Lord, we many times in this world we feel drowned out, and we sometimes think your voice is drowned out because we're too busy with our iPads or our iPhones or watching television or too busy at work. Forgive us. We have let the noise of this world interfere with your still small voice. I confess, Lord, sometimes my blood pressure goes up because I watch the news too much. But here now, God, we pray. We pray for our President Donald. Give him wisdom. Give him courage. Give him humility. Give him the knowledge that is necessary to lead this country. We ask you to be with our senators, Tom and John. Help them understand and underscore the challenges that face those of us in this state, the least, the last, the lost. Be with our Congressman French and all the other congressmen representing Arkansas. Be with our mayor, Mark. We know that Little Rock has many challenging components. At the same time, God, be with each person here. Be with Mary as she leads this church. Be with each of us as we try to hear your voice, God. Oh, Lord, I confess sometimes you need to go ahead and hit me with a 2x4 because I'm not listening otherwise. Please open my ears, open my heart, open my mind to hear you in all that we are involved with, God, as you've taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, as I said earlier, today is the day that we give at Stone Soup. We serve. As we look around the ways that we serve throughout the community, whether it's at Stone Soup or through UMCOR, where they're on the ground right now, both in Puerto Rico and everywhere else we've had disasters lately, including Mexico City, we're reminded that we are more than just these four walls. We in our service are representing God throughout the world. As you give your gifts, know that those are all being to serve here and to serve elsewhere in ministry and in mission. Let us pray. Oh God, we're in the middle of giving our tithes and giving our pledges for next year, as well as our own pledge of our time and service. For those that have not turned those in yet, God, we ask that you remind them and help us and speak to them as to what you're calling them to do, both in terms of giving of money, as well as giving of their service, of their witness, of their time, of their prayers. We ask now that you bless these tithes and these offerings, that it may go to your ministry and your way. In your Lord's name we pray. Amen.
questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. And my trials only come to make me strong. I've been lots of places I've seen, so many faces. There's some times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, in my precious lonely hours, it's when Jesus let me know I was His own.
Our hymn of meditation is 454, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Oh, This morning, I'm going to be looking in the next several weeks at some passages that I have not really preached on much in my ministry, passages that are a bit difficult to understand. So I'm joining you in stretching our minds and our hearts to begin to understand just what it is Jesus is speaking. So let's turn to Matthew 10, 26 through 33. Jesus said, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." The word of God for the people of God. So I've entitled this message, Full Exposure. Fully exposed. In today's language, it seems that we can take that one or two ways. Full exposure. Fully transparent. You're going to have a conversation with someone and you're going to fully expose all that you know, all that you feel they need to know. Transparent. Fully exposed. Unfortunately, can have a negative, if not perverted, meaning in today's society. The first time I really encountered this phrase was as a child when my dad dabbled in photography. He took some wonderful black and white photos of that day and tinted them. He had a tinting set. And I cherish some of the portraits and pictures I have that are through the tinting that he did as he dabbled in that photography. But it really wasn't until we sat down and looked at some home movies, vacations and Christmas times, that I heard the phrase and kind of understood it. As we watched the movies, one or two shots would have kind of colors in them that weren't supposed to be there. And he'd say, "I overexposed that shot." Or he'd say, "I should have adjusted the lighting just a bit on that shot." That is true of photography. But it is false when it comes to our Christian faith. When it comes to our faith, we can never be overexposed to Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus explained it this way. First, he said, "Nothing is covered from God that will not be revealed or hidden, that will not be exposed." We understand this to know that God is omniscient, which is just a big word to mean God knows all. There is nothing we say, nothing we do that God does not know. And there is nothing that we say and nothing that we do that God didn't already know that we were going to say it or do it. And this has been going on since the beginning of time. Think about Adam and Eve. Why, Eve thought that she could pull one over on Adam and God with that apple. And Adam thought he could pull one over on God by hiding. And God always found him. But God didn't just find him, he helped him. Let me get rid of those fig leaves for you. I've got something that will work a whole lot better. He gave him those animal skins. Gideon thought he could hide from God in a wine press. God found him. Jonah thought he could run away and not have to do that mission thing and hide from God. And God found him in a whale. Peter thought that he could deny Christ and run away. The grace of Christ found him. The fact is, there's nothing we can do and nowhere we can go that God is not there, that God does not know. There's nothing we can do and nowhere we can go that God does not love. The only thing God will not forgive, according to Christ, is denying God's existence and love. Matthew 12, 30 through 31 reminds us, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. For I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Again, an example of full exposure. The second thing that comes to mind as I read this passage is Jesus tells us we are to magnify the Lord. What I tell you in the dark, you must utter in the light. What I whisper to you, shout it from the housetops. The truth is, Jesus wants us to share. People say, oh, I'm too uncomfortable to share my faith. Well, that's a cop-out. We're not called to a spirit of timidity. We're called with the spirit of boldness. If Christ can die and be tortured and be crucified on a cross for you, I think you can say a word or two on his behalf. Because believers do that. Believers share their belief. I believed 32 years ago I was pregnant. God, the doctor confirmed it. And I couldn't wait to tell my mother and Tony. Not in that order. I told Tony and then mother. When we believe something, we can't wait to share it. We must share it. When I finished my seminary and then finished the course that I had to go through, and it was a long time to get my elder's orders, I took pictures of the things, sent them to my friends and my family. I wanted to share that all that I had believed in from childhood through adulthood was now going to bear fruit in a whole different way than I'd ever dreamed it would before. We share things. 3 years ago, I had a wreck. Not my fault. 3 years ago, I had another wreck. Not my fault. Took pictures, and like every good social media person, put them on Facebook. Got the sympathy I was looking for. It was good. Hey, don't laugh. You've been on that Facebook, and you've reminded people of the death date of somebody you love and care for. Or you put a picture of your hurt puppy. We do these things. We share our lives. I love looking at the pictures of the catch of the day on the river or the lake, of the weddings, of the new grandbabies, of the graduations. We share our lives. I'm not going to be so thrilled to see the deer pictures in a few weeks. Just got to say that. Jesus tells us our lives happen because of God who created us. So in this portion of this text, I think the question begs to be asked how much of our lives that we share, and we're pretty good at doing that, either in conversation or pictures or social media, how much of our lives that we share magnify the Lord? That's the real question. And thirdly, we can't glean over these words. They're pretty sobering. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot destroy the soul. Rather fear those who kill both body and soul." He is saying, take care of your spirit. Take care of your spirit. Because we live in this world that caters to fear. The news media, the scenarios, the plots, the everything is attacking us. It's trying to appeal to our nature, which is prone to fear. But as Christians, we follow Christ who conquered all fear and death. So why are we giving in to fear instead of giving in to Christ? Is Christ more powerful than any news you may hear on the television? Isn't Christ going to affect your life now and eternally more than what you hear and see and read? So when I read this, I ask myself, could Jesus have been speaking not only to you and me in this passage, but to himself? After all, he knew his body was about to be killed. He knew it. But he also knew the destroyer could not destroy his soul. He'd already won that battle in the wilderness 3 years ago before he ever started his ministry. So Jesus holds a peace in his spirit. When we hold a peace in our soul, in our spirit, there is no room for fear to crowd in. Christ rules your heart, does he not? About 20 years ago, I contracted an illness. It stumped the doctors. Had all kinds of tests. Had a biopsy. No clues. No answers. No cancer. Every test that performed stumped them. And then I heard that phrase nobody wants to hear from the doctor: you may have lymphoma. Well, I wasn't prepared to hear that. I mean, I was only 40. I thought that was pretty young to die. And I'd just been appointed to a pretty large church, and it didn't make sense to me. Why would I suddenly come to this new church with new opportunities and new challenges only to get sick? But what was more was the girls were preteen and early teen. Tony had just started law school out of state to get his master's in tax law. So see, I couldn't make sense of this. And now I wasn't functioning very well in a nonsensical state. I'd lost weight, I'd lost energy, and I didn't want to lose my faith in the process. So I did what we Christians are supposed to do all the time, not just in crisis, but we do tend to do so, especially in crisis. I got down on my knees and I prayed. And I said, "Lord, you know I believe in you, and you know I don't understand this. But what I do know and what I do understand is that you are God and you love me and you love my girls and you love my husband and they all love you and you're going to take care of them and they're going to take care of one another and you're going to take care of me and so I'm okay." And as soon as I prayed that prayer, this peace just washed over me. Literally, I felt like there was a washing over me. And I was fine. And they finally figured out I had a pretty bad infection in my bloodstream, and they gave me the most powerful antibiotics they could find. And 6 weeks later, I was back on the road to pretty good health. You're my family. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. All we have is this day. And all we have is our souls. And we need to take really good care of both. And finally, Jesus says, it's for the birds. This faith thing is for the birds. Not only for you, but it's for the birds. Because not only a sparrow falls that the Lord does not know that that's happened. The Lord's not going to let the sparrow suffer, because the Lord cares about that sparrow. And don't worry about as you get older, the hair loss. Don't worry about the hair thinning. It's going to happen. And Jesus knows about every single hair you've lost. And you're okay. So if our God, who keeps up with fallen birds and hair loss, if our God loves us enough to do that, how much more does God care about our eternal life and salvation? And you know why he cares so much? He wants us to be with him. It's that simple. When you are in prayer with the Lord, you are with the Lord. And when you are going about your day and you've given your life to Christ already, you're with the Lord. You may not be thinking about the Lord, but you're with the Lord, because the Lord hadn't gone anywhere. The Lord's right there by you. But that's just for now. We want to be with the Lord forever, don't we? Amen. Oh, that wasn't very loud. I don't think God heard that. See, Jesus is giving us this wonderful analogy as just one more illustration as to how much God loves for us, cares for us, and desires for us to be with him always. Then Jesus lowers the boom. Have you ever noticed how Jesus will do that? He's kind of got you in the palm of his hand, and then boom, he hits you with something really tight. Whoever acknowledges me, my Father will acknowledge him, but whoever denies knowing my Father before other people, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Again, whoever denies the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. There you have it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our triune God wants us to profess and be bold, wants us to pray and be in connection, and wants us to love him enough to praise and magnify him. Have you ever thought about what Mary did the first time she got that news that she was going to bear the Son of God? I think most of us women would have panicked. Not Mary. What'd she do? She magnified the Lord. That's the kind of faith we should have when we get a little panicked. We pray, we praise, and we magnify the Lord. So, we've been worshiping today, and we're about to go out these doors and go on with the rest of our day. I'd have to ask, what are ways that we reject full exposure and disclosure about Jesus Christ, about our faith? Are we pretty good around other Christians? And another way, around friends who are just letting off a little steam? Did I push any buttons? Do we do good acts of ministry and mission, and yet turn the other way when we're at one of those intersections where someone is homeless and we don't even look at them. We've already judged, why don't you have a job? You could be working instead of standing here holding that sign. We've all thought these thoughts and we won't even look at them. We won't even look at that son or daughter of God, that child of God. Do we have bumper stickers and crosses around our necks and crosses in the yard and crosses on the doors of our homes and all this stuff that says, yes, we love Jesus and we follow Jesus, but get us at a Razorback game when they're not winning and we cuss like a sailor? Yeah, I see some of y'all talking to each other, huh? Pushing some buttons. Do we spout off Jesus' name with Bible verses and Sunday school and Bible studies and all this kind of thing, and then sometimes use his name to curse? It's not easy living the righteous life that we're called to live. It's not easy. We're called to do it 24/7, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, year after year. And we fail and we know it and we're called to repent and we're saying, Jesus, help us. Help us do better. Help us reflect who you are in this world, because people know we're calling ourselves Christian after you. So I think our challenge today is given by Jesus pretty clearly in this text, and it's fourfold. Remember, God is with you always. He never veers away from you. And if you will remember that, it can not only be a source of comfort, but also a reminder to live righteously. And second of all, magnify the Lord. Do so by going forth and bearing witness. It doesn't have to be a long soliloquy. It just needs to be, how are you doing today? I hope the Lord blesses you with a great day, because I know you will be a blessing for the Lord. Simple as that. Do something each day to take care of God's Spirit residing in you. What are you doing for your spirit? Remember what Jesus said about the one that can kill your body? Well, illness, disease can do that for sure. A gunshot can do that for sure. A fire. Oh, the people in California, pray for them. The hurricanes, they're not as much in the news anymore, but they're still suffering. Pray for them. So we know all the different kinds of ways the body can be killed. And Jesus is pleading not to lend to the destroyer of your soul. So every day we need to do something to take care of our spirit. And then finally, to guard ourselves from the temptation that would lure us away from the Lord, and they're all out there. What a wonderful time in our lives it is to be alive and to be alive in the Spirit. May we cherish God so much that we remember the words of His Son and carry them with us every day, that will then wash over each of us in the Spirit of the living God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is Only Trust Him, 337. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you'd like to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ for the first time, or to renew that profession, or to come forward and to pray, we would love for you to do that at this time as we stand and sing 337.
Thank you.
So wonderful to be in worship with you today. We had a lovely young couple join our church at the 8:30 service, Gordon and Anna McGuire, and soon their picture will be posted so you can kind of recognize them and greet them as well. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week, and may you receive this blessing. And now, God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus, who tells us the truth pretty straight. May we go forward in Christ's truth, sharing his love, his grace, his peace, and all that we say. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.